go, no-go decision on the bird. That means that people with differing kinds of expertise will get together and give their votes, as it were, to Mr. Kranz, who will tally them all up and make sure that all of the different systems of the spacecraft, navigational, and other systems are in order for the bird.
Jim Lovell made there was one of the mountains that he named during his flight on Apollo 8.
So we're waiting now for that to take place, and
this is Apollo Control Houston. We're at 79 hours, 10 minutes down to the flight, 18 minutes away from time of scheduled ignition on our Paracentian plus 2 hour burn. This will be performed in computer program 40 aboard the lunar module. The dips thrusting program using the primary navigation and guidance system. Lovell and Hayes will be in Aquarius at the time of the burn with Jack Schweikert in Odyssey. We'll stand by and continue to monitor. We now show Apollo 13, 4,717 nautical miles out from the moon, and traveling at a speed of 4,675 feet per second. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
There's another term that Bill Ryan of NBC News and I have been talking about. It's Paracentian. Paracentian is a complicated and kind of attractive word which simply means the closest point to the moon of any object that comes to the moon for the Earth, from the Earth that circles the moon. I guess a Greek word. But when they say Paracentian plus two, what it means is that as the spacecraft went around the moon, they can reckon from the point at which it was closest to the moon, which I believe is 135 miles tonight, that is a mark for them, the Paracentian mark. And 2 hours after that Paracentian mark, or in about 16 and a half minutes from now, they will turn on their machine. Bill, earlier we heard them talking that they could delay the time of ignition. Would you like to tell us about that?
Yes, John. They indicated to the crew of Apollo 13 that they can, if they wish, delay this ignition for as much as 30 minutes. So the time of burn is not at all critical. And I think it should also be pointed out that, in effect, this burn has been done before. It was done on the flight of Apollo 9 when Jim McDivitt did, using the lunar module, what is to be done in a few moments from now if they go on the earliest schedule. And as far as this lunar descent engine is concerned, it is, in a sense, a fairly routine burn. It's never had a failure in space. The only problems it ever had was were involved with some computer figures that were erroneous fed to the engine in space. But each time it's been asked to fire, it has. And in tests, it's been fired more than 200,000 seconds. That doesn't sound perhaps too impressive, but it's only going to be firing this time for about 4 minutes, or 240 seconds. First five seconds, the engine will be running at idle speed. The next 21 seconds, it'll be going at 40% power. Then it'll be throttled up to full power for the remainder of the burn, and that will be it. They will be aimed toward the Pacific Ocean.
That's very interesting.
Thank you.
Now we're going to talk to Jim Hartz in New York.
Yes, we are, John. The lunar module, which is a strange-looking device built to put men on the face of the moon and let them step outside and do some exploration and provide housing quarters for them while they slept on the moon, has been pressed into service, as it were, in the course of this mission, and has functioned really, as someone said, like a lifeboat for them. It has supplied all the power that they've needed, and all the oxygen and all the water that they're consuming at this stage of the flight. So some very heavy demands were made on it. And Jim Hartz has a man who knows an awful lot about the LEM, and they're going to talk about that now. Jim?
Thank you, Frank. It is not much bigger than a lifeboat, as you can see. Just about room enough for me and Dick Bazzano, who is a consulting pilot with Grumman Aviation on Bethpage, Long Island. Grumman is the maker of the LEM, the lunar module. And Dick, can you tell us what they're doing now, about, 10 minutes before the burn time comes up? What sort of procedures are Lovell and Hayes going through?
Okay, Jim. What they're doing now, of course, is setting the LEM up for the burn. They'll be using the display and keyboard, or DISCI, for the main computer, since they're going to use their primary navigation system. Mm-hmm. They'll have all their switches set, and about now they ought to be just going down their checklist to make sure they've got all their switches exactly where they want to have them. They've got their explosive devices to power the helium and pressurize the system, which had been done last night. They're rechecking these. They will have rechecked, of course, all their alignments, make sure the attitude is proper for the burn. There will be a program 40, as we heard, which is the Delta V using...
That's thrust.
Right, thrust using the descent engine.
Now, if he has to use the manual throttle, where is that, and
okay,
how does it work?
If I can get over here, the manual throttle will be on Jim Lovell's left, and it's a little T-handle type stick, and if he, in this position, when it's in throttle position, he pushes up, just like you do in an airplane, or just as the accelerator on your car. The more he pushes it up, the more power he gets out of the engine.
They used that manually, I think, last night, on early this morning. They made a small burn at about 340, 40% thrust, and that he actually used the throttle on that. Otherwise, it's controlled by the computer, am I correct?
Right, Jim, and normally you have very fine control by the computer on the engine. However, you can always use your manual throttle to override it at any time the computer has the engine.
Okay. We're in the ascent stage of the lunar module. Below it, or actually I suppose there's no up and down or below or above, but below this section would be the descent stage where the engine is and where all of those major stores of oxygen and the batteries and things like that are, but Lovell, Hayes are here. And if we had everything right, that way, Swigert would be in the spacecraft, which would be on top of this thing. Okay, Frank.
Thank you, Jim. A number of people are gathered in Mission Control in Houston for this burn. The burn is important. It is, in a sense, critical. It is not absolutely vital. The purpose of the burn is to make them land in the Pacific Ocean where they have recovery vessels deployed, where it was intended that they land in the first instance, even had they had no trouble at all and completed their lunar voyage. When they adjusted the trajectory last night, they did what they planned to do. They put them on what is called a free return trajectory, but that would bring them down in the Indian Ocean where obviously they have no recovery vessels deployed. So what they're trying to do now is to adjust their flight path to bring them down in the Pacific Ocean. But the thing to remember is that even if the burn did not come off at all, they would come back to Earth. Houston?
Mission Control there. Whereas, as we said before, Gene Kranz, who is the flight director on the floor there in Mission Control, is going around to his various experts and having a conference, getting their decisions on whether everything is set now, from their point of view, and they know a great deal about the spacecraft, but everything is set now for the burn.
Apollo Control Houston, 79 hours, 17 minutes. Flight Director Gene Kranz now going around the room for a go-no-go status from each member of his team.
One of the things that they...
We're go for the burn. Apollo 13 now 5,039 nautical miles away from the moon, traveling at a speed of 4,616 feet per second.
So, it's official. They will burn. They will turn their rocket engine on.
Aquarius, Houston, over.
Here's the Aquarius calling Houston.
Go ahead, Houston. Jim, you go for the burn. Go for the burn.
That was Commander Lovell's voice, I believe. He and Fred Hayes are in the lunar module. Mr. Swigert, Jack Swigert as he's known here, is in the command module, where he has to use a flashlight to make his way around. They've turned all the lights off in there. They've been off since last night almost at this time. We have a report from the South Pacific that a tropical storm is building up not far from the point at which the astronauts will land if this mid-course burn works and if they maintain their present course.
The tropical storm should be about 200 miles northwest of the target point by the scheduled splashdown on Friday, and one meteorologist is being quoted as saying it could very well become a hurricane. Winds near the center of the storm, which is there now, were reported at about 45 miles an hour, with gusts of 34 miles an hour reaching out 150 miles from the center of the storm area. And if it does turn into a hurricane, this star-crossed mission, we may have some more figuring to do. There's not much to be done other than the button pushing now at this point. That makes it sound very small. It isn't. It's a complicated and sophisticated maneuver, but earlier this afternoon, they went through the checklist for turning this engine on. They went through it very thoroughly and very carefully, and everything has been set up for several hours for it. Also from this room on your screen, messages were going as late as an hour ago, asking the astronauts in the capsules for estimates on how much drinking water they were going to consume. The water remains the main problem of what we call consumables on this flight, and they have enough of most of the other things they need, notably oxygen, lots of that, and enough battery electricity to bring them back in properly, nominally, as they say, ordinarily. But the water is a problem, and they're worrying about that here in the room, and they have a number of times assured the astronauts from Mission Control here in Houston that they were working on the problems of water, trying to save.
This is Apollo Control Houston. We're a little over 6 minutes now away from time of scheduled ignition at 79 hours, 21 minutes. Meanwhile, in Mission Control, both the viewing room and floor of the Mission Operations Control Room have filled up with a considerable number of people. Among those here tonight are Dr. Thomas Paine, NASA Administrator, Mr. George Lowe, Deputy Administrator of NASA, Frank Borman, who commanded the flight of Apollo 8 and Gemini 7, and had a flying companion named Jim Lovell. Ken Mattingly is here. Al Shepard, Commander of Apollo 14, is on the Moker floor at this time, as is Ed Mitchell, the lunar module pilot, along with Stu Russo, who is scheduled to fly in the command module for that flight. We're coming up on 5 minutes until scheduled time of ignition. Gene Kranz is checked with a couple of his systems, or members of his flight control team who monitor systems. They indicate they're happy with the data they're looking at now. We're standing by, continuing to monitor. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
John Chancellor?
Yes, Frank.
You were mentioning a while ago how Swigert was having to make his way around in the command module with only a flashlight. They have the whole system powered down so that they're using the very least amount of electricity possible.
There's 23 minutes into the flight. We show Apollo 13 at 5,263 nautical miles relative to the moon, and traveling at a velocity of 4,578 feet per second.
I just wanted to say that when they're powered down, they're drawing about 17 amps, and someone has figured out that's about like having a television set and a dishwasher on at the same time, or a refrigerator and a couple of lights, so there's not a lot of electricity they're using.
Actually, Frank, it's interesting, the number of people who've come to Mission Control to see this this engine firing that we're about to hear about. The really critical one was last night.
Yes.
And that was done by a lot of people who
Apollo Control Houston,
almost
3 minutes away now from scheduled time of ignition. As we look at one of our displays in the Mission Control Center, we see that Apollo 13's lunar module is now in program 40.